This is CliffCentral.com.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others.
CliffCentral.com. Welcome. It's the 5th of December, and we started with that bit of a clip because I think that's pretty much how the whole of South Africa is feeling right now. But not only am I feeling that way, because I'm never here alone, I'm always quite deep. Let's find out exactly how Craig is feeling.
Ah, man, today is just an awesome day. Joburg was cold, it was wet, it was miserable, and I felt extra productive today. Let's give it over to Candace.
Woo! Guys, it is Emba Boss! The big days. How can you not be excited? Like, land in the sand. My boy Q, what's popping?
Yo, man, it's December, it's my birthday month. Yes. I started accepting presents 5 days ago. So, you know, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. But I'm super excited to be here, man. I love this weather. I love the people. So let's have a great show, yeah?
Cool.
So, guys, I don't know. I'm always the person like putting a damper on things, right? So it's end of the year, right? It's our second show on Cliff Central. Yeah, yeah. So it's new beginning for some people, but it's pretty much the end.
For most.
For most, yeah, right?
Pretty much.
It's that time of the year where it's year-end functions and you drink other people's money.
Hey.
And you drink other people's profits.
Tuition fees.
Right? Because you work so hard, but I mean, you deserve it, right?
Thank you, corporates. Thank you for the year-end function. That open bar, guys.
So I want to find out because, I mean, last week we went into something pretty deep, right? We're talking about the dynamics between males, females, who would you smash, who wouldn't you smash, who you should be dating, who you shouldn't be dating.
Oh,
I saw on Twitter the other day, they were like, if you're single by December, you're pretty much just ugly. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I saw that as well. I saw that. You know what? No, guys, come on.
So Some people
are single by choice.
I heard at the end of November, all relationships are canceled.
Yeah, exactly.
And in December, it's like, it's a free for all. So you can find yourself somebody in December for the next year.
And if you are married and you're a woman and you're married to a husband who's rich, please, please ask F&B to help you shut that man's bank account from the 31st the 30th of November till the 2nd of Jan.
Do you see my problem now? You know? Do you see my problem with dating? That's exactly my problem with dating, because I'm feeling, wow, if I'm that guy and I want to eat my money that I've worked so hard for the whole year.
Eat the money.
Craig now is just telling me, good, no, I'm going to shut that whole thing down. All right, so listen up. So for today's show, right, I was thinking, okay, so we had a couple of guests last week, right?
Yeah.
For this week, what we're going to do is we're going to introduce everyone to the team, okay? Mm. So I've been getting a lot of tests and stuff, people saying, yo, what happened to the team? What's going on? Unplugged, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And long story short, guys, in order to grow, you need to expand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You must just divide and conquer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So pretty much the only way I'm seeing this right now is that we're just adding more people to the family, yes?
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do now is, I was thinking of some really, really cool stuff that I was thinking conceptually. I was thinking to myself, what was the most exciting December I've been to in a while?
Yeah.
And I realized the most exciting December I've been to was, I think, about 3 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finding out that I passed my supplementary exam.
Yeah.
Not just my exam, my supplementary exam.
Yeah.
But I passed the pass, guy. When you get that
degree,
pass with supplementary.
Just says pass.
So I remember that was a really crazy December. So I thought, you know what, let's reminisce, let's go back there. Because I know a lot of people just got their marks.
Yeah.
Okay, some people are still writing supplementaries, but you know, they'll be fine. We believe in them, right? But I want you guys to go back to when you got those marks and you realize that you were done with this evil thing called formal education. Oh my gosh, I hate that thing. Where were you doing, Chris?
Okay, I don't know who Chris is, but I'm Craig or Sexy.
Craig or Sexy.
It's alright. Don't worry. I think because I've done this so many times, eh? Guys, like, I've got 3 degrees, so it's
weird. Oh,
like,
oh, hello.
Oh, flex.
Oh, hello.
I'm just like, hold on.
It's nothing new for you.
No, I'm just like... I'm doing the walk again. But I remember the first one, the first undergrad. I actually, because I did an internal audit degree and I got a re-exam for my major. And I'd applied for honours the following year. And they usually don't take you if you mess up, even if you get a supplementary. But when I got it, guys, I went back wild. I mean, I finished a half a tequila, bottle of half a tequila very quickly because I was quite stressed out. And the following week, I got accepted into honours. So that was a relief for me.
Oh, wow. Well done.
So you had a bit of divine intervention there, actually.
Absolutely.
Because according to the rules, you should have never been.
I should have. I shouldn't have been accepted.
So just a quick flex. So what degrees? So it's the undergrad, it's the honours?
Yeah, it's undergrad, honours, and then masters.
I'm not doing the Okay.
And yeah, now.
You're working on the PhD.
They're working flexing? On the
PhD. All right.
Yeah.
Flex.
So by this time next year, you should be Dr. Craig.
No, it takes a lot longer, especially in South Africa. I mean, you have to, it's proposal writing, it's arguing with your supervisor.
Yeah.
It's just a whole lot of stuff that you have to deal with. But you know.
Okay, enough about Craig. Oh, Craig, you always take up so much
Craig's
time.
Boring. Yeah. I'm joking. I love you, Craig.
What a boring academic. He's one of those people that just suck like the life out of everything. Like, you know what? Here's my issue, right, Candace? And then maybe you can relate to me. So I was always bothered when I matriculated and a lot of the guys that I matriculated with, you know, I'd ask them, what do you want to do? And they'd be like, I want to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, okay, so you see me giving this person hell. You see us giving this teacher hell the whole year. And you decide
like,
in your mind,
I'm going to do that.
I want to be that person.
Yeah.
And then now we switch to university, right? Here's the thing, guys. There's like, probably like only a handful of lectures that I really like, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else is just a douche. They're just old and they're bitter. And you know, they have nothing to look forward to in their lives, and they're just waiting to retire, and they just want to do research. And when they find some stupid little new rock, then all of a sudden, like, their mind is blown. I feel like, honestly, and I mean, I'm no shade, but I do feel like lectures are some of the
Are you saying no shade to Craig? Because
you know
he's a
what
lecturer.
I mean. No, but you know what? I would agree with him to say that we do feel very self-important. I mean, like when you rock up in the class.
Because you know it all. You're knowledgeable. I come to
assumed.
You. But I also would want to add to that is when you're like, usually lecturers don't opt to lecture. You find yourself within that space.
Yeah.
Is that true with you?
I tried to get into banking for as long as I could, for a good 2 years.
Yeah.
And then eventually
why is everyone always trying to get into banking?
Money.
We need a show on this, guys. We need an hour for this.
Yeah, and then after that, I was like, no, not for me.
Yeah, because I had a communications lecturer, and she also just fell into lecturing. She's like, she just got here. She's here, and you know, they asked her to like tutor, and the next minute she was a lecturer.
I think it's pretty safe.
I don't think you really pick, like, you don't pick per se to become a lecturer.
I think it's a very safe option for most
especially
people.
Especially post-grad, right?
So if you're very knowledgeable on a particular
on a topic,
subject,
yeah.
it's like, okay, let's teach it.
I mean, it's the most organic way to go about
100%,
it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
For me, I just think they're pathetic people, but go
No, I think, but if you know where, especially if you know where you're going to apply this stuff, teaching should be the last thing on your mind.
Okay, seeing that we jumped to this position, for those of you who don't know who's talking now, you know, because this show just has no order. This show is just parliament. So this is Q. But Q, what's your real what's your African real name? Just for a tongue twister, go for it.
Kaya.
That's right.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Never forget.
I've never.
That's right.
But yeah, you guys can call me Q, man.
No, we
Thank
won't.
You.
No, we don't want to.
Yeah,
no,
I kind of figured.
No.
That's the easy way out. Q.
We want you mustn't give them
we'll
the easy way
to
out.
Okay, let me give it a shot.
They actually wanted to change my work email to Q. My surname.
No.
And I was like, no way.
You're
gonna keep that Kaya there.
You will suffer.
So let's try this out. Can the say Q's name?
Say it again. Sorry, babe.
Kaya. Kaya.
Wait. Sorry. Kaya. Kaya, guys. No.
On some
Mufasa. I'm not bad. It was pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
Okay, so we're going to revisit that. We're going to be doing it throughout the show until everybody gets it right.
Yeah.
So Candace, when you graduated, where were you? What were you feeling? What was happening?
I was getting drunk somewhere. That was my happy medium, guys. That was my constant. I think it still is. Like always lit. It's probably in Hatfield somewhere, guys.
Yeah.
Somewhere, Coco Spotong, you know. Getting lit as fuck.
Yeah.
And you realize it's over. It's wrapped.
It's wrapped.
You realize that this is is ending. And also post that, where you have to get into the real world and be a grown up, you're like, shit, man, you know, like, damn.
But that's the ironic thing. It's like matric. The moment you get your certificate, you think you've done it. And then the same thing happens in undergrad. You think, I've made it. And then the real world, you meet all sorts of crap like racism, politics, yep. life, you know, heartbreaks, and you still have to balance and have a child.
Also,
and
you
family.
Could be the coolest kid back in varsity, but you get into the corporate space and you're literally Jimmy. You know, you're just like a random average.
You're not a crazy sexy. Person. Yeah, I get it.
Q?
I was in East London, turning up to the maximum for the next, like, it was an entire weekend. So in East London, when you go in, you like literally do everything overboard. So it's not just a one day thing. It's like literally we make it an entire weekend thing.
Plus, it's cheap, eh?
Plus, it's very cheap. East London is very cheap, guys.
Really? Is that why my friend's boyfriend's always taking her there?
Yeah, probably.
And I never used to like him. It all makes sense now.
Okay, so, on my side, I think I was already working there. So here's my issue with me and every stage of life, right?
Yeah.
I always like get over it 6 months before it ends.
Oh, wow.
So I remember in matric, I was already done with matric by June.
Liz, you have a lot of issues. Hey.
Why do you apply that reasoning?
I was also, I get over things very quickly. So even if you look at like the stuff that I do, like I change a lot. So obviously in high school, I was an athlete. I got a sponsorship and everything, but I was already over it by the time I got to June. And then I got into academics. But obviously, because you're a black child in Africa, there's no black mother being like, go to university so you can run.
Yeah.
No, it never happens that way. You go there to do school. So you go there, you do your school thing. And then 6 months, I was doing engineering, right?
Yeah.
And 6 months, I was really over it because I knew I'd never become an engineer. I knew I'd be a corporate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was like anxious to start the banking thing.
Yeah.
Because I was
just like,
oh, guys, like, this varsity thing is done. And then now that I'm just getting a little tricky because now that I am in banking, we'll save it for another show. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go straight into a bit of the content, right, for this show. So enough about us.
Yeah.
People just love talking about themselves. Wow.
You love talking about your problems.
Liz, this literally is you. It's.
I feel like we're Liz's therapist. Eh? He just doesn't know
it's
it.
Yeah, always, you know what, guys? And like in my life, like even just like reflecting on my life, like
it's
you know,
like I need you guys, you know,
take steps back and tell you guys about my life, you know, and my experience.
You know,
look at him laughing.
I switch off you guys, mics.
Everybody needs a therapist, guys. It's fine.
Do you know what I remember thinking? Right. So going into a new job, you're out of varsity. It's a new life, right? I've always wanted, would it be so nice? I keep thinking to myself, wouldn't it be so nice if somebody came to you with a starter pack?
Yeah.
A how-to guide to do this thing, right? Because to be honest, while you're busy in varsity, right? I remember myself, every last week of the month, I used to call my mom, like, yo, listen, it's a little rough right now.
Yeah.
You know, I just need, you know, just like help a homie out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start working. And, and here's the thing that messed me up the most. Like, it blew my mind. So when I started working, first job, right, I was earning more than my mom.
Wow.
Yeah.
For me, that was such a switch up, right? Because what happens now is that now you get excited all of a sudden for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then as you're about to get excited, your mom comes back. She's like...
Oh, my God. So you did the mistake of telling her how much you earned?
Yeah, never.
No one told me. I didn't have a starter pack, man.
Keep that to yourself.
No, but can I also add to that? You know, I used to do a lot of events and promos and all of that.
Yeah.
And they would pay really good money for that.
Yeah.
And when I started working and got my first job, I used to get paid more in varsity doing the gigs that I would do than the freaking salary that I got.
As your first job?
Yeah.
It's because you're pretty.
I could not believe it. And the transitioning for me was very hard, guys.
It's because you're pretty.
I should have been friends with you earlier. You were racking dough.
She was bowling. Yeah, in varsity, we were struggling.
Not racks, but I mean, I was living, guys.
So I want to find out, right? So, okay, let's go jump straight to Craig. Your starter pack, right? Give me five things that you wish somebody would have came to you. Be like, listen, these are the five essentials.
Yeah.
When you start working, that you really need to like be cognizant of.
Okay. I think the first thing that I'd definitely say to anybody is never compare yourself to anybody. I used to struggle with that a lot.
Yeah.
So, I still do.
So you shouldn't stop it right now, please. The second thing is that, you know, money is actually not really everything. I know that as soon as we graduate, we just think, fam, I need to get a car. It really isn't. You're going to get yourself into a lot of debt that is unnecessary. You still have a lot. You actually, you know, even Cliff once said it. He says, you don't start at zero. You, for a black person, you start at negative 150,000 of debt.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't try that. Third thing, you must have a lot of fun. Oh my goodness, life is great. And I consistently do that.
Yeah.
I still do that. And I think we are doing that a lot, you know. Fourth thing, I do think that, you know, your friends are not everything. Try to keep the friends at a minimum. I know this is very ironic for Lesega, who's got like the whole squad. Candace, I know you're famous and everything, but you need the right amount of friends, the right kind of friends, quality over quantity.
Yeah.
You know, and the last thing is that you must, please, take care of your bodies, work out. You know, we'll talk more about that a little later. So that's a good thing for me. Yeah.
We've got the gym guy here.
You know.
Pumping, bro.
You?
For me, look, man, I think the first thing was, most importantly, number one, start saving from your first check.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people want to get in it. I mean, it's your first check. You've never had this amount of money. Let's go hit the clubs. Let's have a bit fun. Let's wild out. I think I wish somebody would have told me to start saving
from
my first check.
Let me just defend that for like a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, when you're a Lesego in varsity, and basically you're a bum, right? And you go into the clubs because you like things, and you find like the flames of Candace dancing with guys that are like already bankers, you know? And you're being flexed on, Q, for like 4 years consistently, you're being flexed on.
Yeah.
And in your mind, you're like, the moment the salary drops.
Yeah.
I'm going, like when I started working,
yeah.
I kid you not, I gained like 5 kilograms in 5 weeks. I went berserk. I was like, what cook for what? Huh?
Yeah.
Spur every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
So what'd you say to someone like that?
No, I think it's like, look, have your fun part of your budget. Mm. Like allocate that. Okay, this is blow money. We're not
blow
gonna
money.
Blow money, that's okay. What I call it. Have your blow money that you
I'm
can blow.
Of something else.
And then once that's done, you know, then it's done.
Yeah.
Cause you don't wanna be like have blown your whole salary and you still got another 2 weeks to go. You got, you know, more month at the end of your salary.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you got to be very aware of that, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Candace, what do you think? Did you blow your first salary?
It wasn't that great.
Okay.
Yeah, and I haven't made much strides since my... I think I'm still on level one income, hey, guys. Like, I've been trying to fight it, though, hey.
Is that why you're here?
I've been trying to hustle. I've been trying to find me a daddy. I will get there. I'm busy pushing, guys.
Yeah.
We'll find your plug.
And can I just interject?
Plug me. And I've been asking Lays to plug me.
Yeah.
For the I got him in the gym, and our first chat was, he actually asked me, and he's like, let me plug you. And I've been winning. It's been 3 months, Lays.
Yeah.
I think Lays is just a douche.
Lays, you hit up as a freaking division.
But listen up though, Candace. My thing is, and you know what's refreshing about you, right?
Mm.
You're brutally honest.
Because
a lot of the time you'll find that, you know, and Craig knows this. You go to a place, you'll meet up with guys that you went to high school with, for example.
Yeah.
And what I find, especially, and I don't know if it's a worldview, but definitely here in Joburg, everyone's trying to flex on everyone.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes, you know, I'll walk into a place and I don't mind getting a bottle of vodka, right?
Yeah.
Because I know vodka is going to last you until the whole night.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to walk in there and then find a friend of mine, you know, who's going to buy like 6 bottles of champagne. I hate champagne. I think it's stupid because it literally ends in like 30 minutes.
Nice,
it's like 4 glasses.
It's like 4 glasses and it's done.
Well,
but the thing
I
is,
have poverty palate.
But my thing is, though, listen, so the thing is, I can't fund that. I can't. That's not my lane.
Yeah.
And however, it's and that's why I say that for me, financial management is less of an educational thing and more of a psychological thing for me.
Yeah.
Once you can get over the psychology of wanting to flex, you'll be fine.
You're right.
That's absolutely true.
Craig, do you want to say something?
I think, you know, Absa did a study and, you know, me and studies, guys, that's my life, you know, to actually study how men and women spend their money. And they actually found out that men, especially black men, black diamonds, you know, smart ones, spend their money on ego. That's the whole concept.
And that's how the industry has also evolved, is where they'll sell you according to what they know you're gonna buy.
Exactly. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
I know I saw pamphlets was on social media as well.
Yeah.
So to target the black people or your black consumer, it was there was a kid, a black kid with a car. So that's where they want the black consumers to go, you know, get your car, we'll fund you for cars.
Mm-hmm.
We won't necessarily fund you for, you know, when it comes to property.
Property, no, they had, or business, you know, or business ideas. Yeah.
So I think it's all very...
let's just say the psychology. Yeah, the psychology is, let's say that, you know.
Yes.
I mean, these guys don't just sell you things or products or give you credit for no reason. They look
they
at your spending
habits. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
They'll give you the money for the GDI, boo.
I think
you
it's
you
a lot
whip in the range.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people trying to overcompensate for insecurities.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it all goes back to like how you grew up. If you weren't the cool guy in school, you always told yourself, yo, once I get money,
once
I'm going to show them.
I will show
and
them.
And then you get a little money and you just want to show them. You spend half your salary on a car.
Yeah.
And then you live in
the grand. And also maybe lack plays into that as well. If you've never had.
If you've
never had nice things.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I speak for myself. If I were to make a salary, let's say my salary were to be like, let's say 80 grand, you know?
Yeah.
Wishful thinking.
Right? Let's just say next.
Yeah.
I would stunt on all of y'all. I'm just saying. I wouldn't even... Text Les back, and I text him back
goodness.
Every single time.
what's
no, but for real, like, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine myself being like rich. Like, I'd be, I'd, you know, live in that. You know, I'd enjoy every moment of bowling. You know, bowling out.
But the good thing about it, I mean, the ironic thing about that is that just like everything else, you actually get over it.
Apparently, yeah.
Like your degree, like you will get over it.
Yeah, you get over it.
You know, your apartment or whatever.
It's
you novelties. Get over those things. You know?
Yeah.
So, on my side, and I completely agree with what you guys are saying, and I can totally relate. For me, I wish when I had started, somebody had set, mine's a little deeper. I wish somebody had set me down and conscientized my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. One of the very first things that I found going into the bank, and it was so... Well, so crazy, 'cause it hit me all at once. So I got drafted from university, right?
Yeah.
So, but I was studying and work at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was really used to this thing. However, the things that I found for me, and this is actually quite awkward and it's quite deep, I found myself being in a better position, right, in terms of work, under a white manager than a black manager.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And when you go in, you'd think it would be naturally the other way around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I found, this is a very deep thing, and I keep telling people that.
Yeah.
As black people, and I agree with that thing that black guys spend money on ego.
Yeah.
Because when you go into a corporate, the black guy always wants to keep stunting.
Mm.
The black guy always wants to be, he still wants to be the richest ducky in the room.
Yeah.
And for me, real leadership is when, if I can see potential in Candace, I'm like, listen, Candace is probably better, has more talent than me in this thing.
Mm. Yeah.
I should be able to be in a position to elevate Candace above myself.
Mm. Nurture her.
Which is what I think a lot of, especially in the staffing context, black managers don't have. And I find that quite disappointing. Because right now I'm sitting here, I'm like, listen, I'm still in varsity, but my consciousness is deeper than yours.
Mm.
Because you constantly want me to be at the same level.
Yeah.
Now, I've been in the bank 3 times. I've moved in 4 divisions. That's unheard of.
Mm.
But it's also because I'm not willing to settle for that, you know, and I see it.
Yeah.
And it's a very difficult thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Have you experienced the same thing, Candace? Because I know when it comes to females and females, the dynamics switch or similar. I'm not sure.
I would say I've been, you know, led by black males most of the time, which is, I'm right in my element there. I was happy with that. I ain't complaining.
Yeah, okay.
And I mean, no complaints from my side, guys. Mm. I will tell you when it comes to women, though. Colored women, okay, I'm going to put it out there. Colored women are a little, colored women are so spicy. Mm.
Yeah.
Just the, like you said with the black males, I think colored women within a corporate space, or really any space, there's always competition there as well. She always needs to be prettier. She needs to have longer hair. She needs to be skinnier. She needs to be, like, there's always those dynamics, especially in a working space as well. I actually... current project that I'm working on, and my colleagues are going to hate me for saying this, but there's this colored woman, and she just annoys me. If you're listening, yes, it's you, honey. You really, really annoy me so much. Oh my gosh. And guys, please stop sending her to come through to Brom. Like, just keep her that side at head office. Anyway, she's always giving me a run for my money. She's always putting me through the most. You know when someone's just out there gunning for you constantly?
Yeah.
This is this woman. Mm. But anyway, it's all love.
Yeah.
You know what I think we're going to do? So, guys, it's about to get... Like, I'm literally... Because we're going to build to the climax of the show, exactly what we're talking about. So, we're going to go to a quick break, right? When we come back, I want to hear from you two guys, right? What are the really strange and... monotonous things that you've experienced in your working culture,
yeah.
right? And then we're going to unpack it. And then there's something really cool that happened this past weekend. And we're going to dig into that.
Because
yeah. when it comes to the psychological thing, I think it plays a lot. I'm, you know, I used to hate it when people used to say, oh, no, like, think you didn't do it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You can visualize it, it will happen. However, I'm starting, maybe it's a maturity thing, but I'm starting to realize that perhaps it's coming together. So straight after this, we're getting into a lot more with Q and Craig.
This is CliffCentral.com.
And just like that, with Bryson Tiller, we're back. Drop that down. So, like I said, and I gave everyone a promise that when we come back after this, right, we'll dig a little deeper with Craig and Q.
Yeah.
And I'll jump straight into it. So I'll start with Craig.
Okay.
Craig, when you started working, what was your... This is weird.
Yeah.
Moment.
Okay. Awkward.
Yeah, what was it? What was the awkward moment?
Oh, you mean what was the awkward moment for me when I started working?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. My first corporate job was at Nissan. And Nissan is in Roslyn, guys. Pretoria. Hashtag. It's old Afrikaans dead culture. I rock up there with my loud, fabulous personality, and everyone is just like, what is... So I had always had that very awkward personality with everyone, because they couldn't necessarily understand my bravery, the way I was loud, the way I was just like, you know. So it just became quite awkward, and I did a whole lot of things wrong. My Excel skills were horrible, and I was supposed to be an accountant. Oh, goodness. So those were pretty much the messed up moments I've had, actually. You know?
Yeah.
And yourself, Q?
I think for me... you know, for me, leadership is all about empowering people. So I've seen situations where, you know, you have a manager who just wants to hog the work.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to delegate. They just want all the shine for themselves. And I think that's the wrong way to go about it. Because one, when you give other people opportunities, you empower them, and you also lessen the load for yourself. So I think a huge part of leadership is talent management, understanding what your team's strengths are, and then plugging them into the where they best perform, and you lessen the load for yourself, and you empower your team.
Okay, so I'm gonna switch it up now a little bit, right? So very unique things happening in different industries, right?
Yeah.
The one thing that I've encompassed, and it's something that I've struggled with so much. You know, when everybody says you need this type of qualification to be in this place, right? The more friends I have in corporate, the more of the people that I talk to, the more I realize how rubbish that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very rubbish.
Had I known that I didn't have to work so hard to be an engineer to end up in banking, honestly, I would have done like BA.
Fringe.
No degree shaming.
No, I'm just saying. Had somebody told me that I didn't have to work hard, right, in varsity to get the job that I wanted, I would never have.
I think what where we miss it a lot is sort of matching qualification to a job. It shouldn't be that. It should be matching personality, and you know, your natural talent and flair to that specific job. So for me, like, I same to you. I never thought I would have gotten into sales. You know, I was studying finance, so I like interacting with new people. I like the psychology of selling and convincing people to buy something. It's exciting. It's really exciting for me. So what I probably should have studied was probably like sales and marketing, or even psychology.
But then remember, as you grow, you evolve and you change.
Yeah.
I do think that it is necessary for you to study any discipline. It just tells the potential employer or the potential future business associate that you are a teachable person. You know, you went through a 3-year rigorous program. You finished it in record time, or maybe for some of us, a year or two extra. But at the end of the day, it just shows me discipline. It just shows me focus, which is important.
And maybe that's where the value is, right? Because regardless of what you study, do you ever notice, I mean, when I go back to the hood and I talk to the friends that didn't make it so far up the academic value chain, you know what I'm saying? The guys that dropped out in like grade 10, grade 9, whatever. The conversations I have with them, the conversations I have with my friends that have degrees are significantly different.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that you're from the hood. Hello.
Yo, man, we all don't have land.
Les is not from the hood.
But no, me.
Before you guys like put me on blast.
Okay.
And with that being said, right, I have... and I've been researching on this, and I do think it's survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
But I wish somebody had told me how heavy my friends would switch up as soon as I graduated.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Sense?
In the sense that, you know, varsity was cool because varsity, there was a structure.
Mm.
Mm, absolutely.
So, you know, you go with your first year friends, you know, then once you get to second year, it changes a little bit, but you're most likely with your second year friends, you know. By the time you get to honors, you're with the honors guys as well, right? There is a pathway. Once you get into the working world, there's none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just naturally gravitate with the people that are on your level.
Yeah.
On your level. I like that. It's quite classic.
Essentially, that is right. Yeah.
It is true. But I just feel like, you know, to some extent, hey, the more educated and the more income you make, you do become somewhat classist. And it's inevitable.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Whether it happens subconsciously, it happens. It happens. Yeah.
I think more relationships now are more transactional. It's about, like, what value can you add to my life? And what value can I add to yours? And... But saying that, I think that is probably the best way it should be. It's like if you are not adding or subtracting, if you're neutral, you're automatically subtracting.
All right.
You're diluting.
And maybe we should just be more brutally honest about these things.
Okay. Yeah.
So every time I log in, and I'm like, we're all on Twitter every day, and everyone talks about day ones.
Yawn face.
You know, and I'm like, perhaps maybe there's a bit of an issue. If you still have, I mean, you're very lucky if you're going to find a day one and both of you are going to progress at the same pace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is quite unique, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that is the majority, and I'm seeing a lot of day ones, and my mind is, I don't know how genuine this is, because I've outgrown all my friends.
Absolutely.
All my friends in primary school, we no longer hang. It's a thing.
Yeah, I would like to agree with that. Me too. None of my mates from varsity, from primary school, high school, we don't talk, we don't even text, we don't communicate via social media. I have no interest in communicating or connecting with them because I'm so far gone. You know, I'm joking.
Holla at my sister.
I'm joking, but you know what I mean? Like, we have nothing in common. Like, all my mates from, like, high school, right?
Yeah.
And we were best friends, and we were these day ones, all have kids and are married now. Like, and I'm just like... still trying to get drunk at the club. What the hell, you know?
So, look, for me, I have a particular day one. Okay, day one as in we met in, like, high school. Like, but we've been friends since then. It's, like, more than 10 years now. And I think what's made our relationship so successful is that we weren't necessarily always progressing at the same pace, you know?
Yeah.
I'd maybe be in front and maybe he'd be a bit in front, but we'd always pull each other back and give each other honest feedback. Like, look, man, I think you need to work on this.
Yeah.
And he'd do the same for me. So now we're at a place in our lives where we're pretty similar. But even if, you know, he becomes a billionaire tomorrow, it's not going to be a thing of that, look, I'm too far gone for you.
Mm.
It's going to be like, okay, how do I plug you in? Or how do I give you an opportunity for you to also be a billionaire like me?
Agreed. Mm. Awesome.
I think it's a bit of a fairy tale story. And it doesn't mean that it's not real.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't mean that it's not real. Yeah. I'm just saying it's very idealistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just on my side, and this is where I'm going to try and put everything together, right? So, you know, we all have those friends who have done extremely well.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And as a person, you know, if I see that Craig is doing very well, I usually find one of two things is going to happen. So if me and Craig are friends, and Craig does very well and I don't, one of two things happens. Either I want to be extremely motivated, right? And I'm going to say, oh my gosh, you can do it, and I'm going to move forward. Or I am really naturally going to be envious.
Oh, absolutely.
And I will be bitter.
Mm.
And I will go home and lie down
mm-hmm.
and just wallow for a while. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if I were to blow the situation up even more. Now, the past weekend... We had a momentous moment in South Africa, right? We had Philip.
Woo! Yeah, Philip, yes.
Philip FNB.
And so, some of you were there. I was one of those idiots that wasn't there. I don't know what my problem is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I was so annoyed. I've never had such FOMO.
Why didn't you come, though?
This year.
Oh, yeah, because you went to that thing with your colleagues.
Yeah, but anyway, right? And, you know, when I go through the timeline, you know, a lot of people are inspired. Everyone was like, yeah, go do it.
Yeah.
And I started reflecting on myself, and I'm like, you know what? I mean, I'm no rapper, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to fill up any stage, any platform, any venue, right?
Yeah.
But especially as a competitive person, you know, we all want that level of greatness and success.
Absolutely.
And I refuse to believe that for everyone, your very first inkling when that happens is, well done, Casper, instead of, I wish that were me.
I will agree. I will agree 100%.
Absolutely,
Leslie, you're so right. Like, and then again, it comes back to the psychology of it all. Like, and it's not even malicious. It's not that you hate the fact that someone's doing better than you. It's just like, damn it. Like, you know, it's just like, wow, it's great. But I mean, man, you know, like, I should have been the first one to do that.
It's envy, and you know, I hate it when we become so pretentious as people.
And we're just like, oh.
And pretend like we're not envious when somebody does well.
We're not envious,
And also, I would like to add, I'm a terrible loser. I hate losing. You know, I suck at that. Like, I will cry, and you will know, and I am mad as hell. You know, I'm a terrible loser, and so seeing someone else just like beat you at something that you've wanted really badly.
Yeah, no.
I'm not gonna sit there and say, oh no.
But you know, it's actually quite funny because this actually, I agree with you, but it happens a lot also in relationships. So it's not just about friends, but you find yourself competing with the person that you're dating or married.
Really? It actually does.
It actually does.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Especially when the woman earns a little bit more than the guy, or whatever the case.
Insecure.
Exactly. Mm. And you know, we're currently at the age that we're at, where women have become more independent, more powerful, make their own money, buy their own drinks. So it's actually becoming two way now.
Mm. And you know, with that, and I think that's a very interesting dynamic, and I'm so glad that you pulled it in.
Yeah.
Because with me, I mean, I'm sorry, guys. I had a personal moment between myself and Casper. Via social media. I mean, it wasn't a two-way thing. He definitely was not in my headspace, but I was definitely there, and I was looking at this thing, and I was asking myself those questions.
Yeah.
But with that being said, especially in this African context, even with myself, and I can admit this, I don't know how comfortable I'd be if I was dating someone that earned significantly more than myself.
So, for me, I think, look, that to me is fine. It's all about what you attach to money. If your manhood is attached to
money,
then when there's a lot of it, you feel like more of a man. When there's little of it, you feel less like you know, a man. I think it's about going back, chasing the knowledge of self, understanding who you are as a person, and what validates you, and getting away from the fact that, you know, this money thing. It's like money is gonna come and money is gonna go. Not that you shouldn't chase it, but be comfortable enough with who you are that even when it's not present, that you still feel okay.
And I'll tell you why I have a problem with that.
Okay, tell us, Liz.
So, I love money. Right? Mm. Literally, the only reason why I'm doing it is money, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But for me, when somebody says money's not money, you know, it doesn't make who you are, I think that's such...
That's complete...
I think that's actual nonsense because my money is part of me.
I stay fighting people on Twitter about this. About like, money. Stop telling us that money doesn't buy happiness and it can't sort you out.
That's such a lie.
Stop judging us. We'll see for ourselves.
Because first of all, money gives you a certain quality of life.
Yeah, right?
And when it gives you a certain quality of life, you are happier in that position.
Right.
Right? So now, if a Lesoho is looking at, and I want to go back to this just to tie it all back together, when he's looking at a Casper, right?
Yeah.
The quality of life is obviously very different,
right?
And I mean, as people, we naturally aspire to have a better quality of life.
Right? So Liz, what I was saying is, like, we were talking about the relationships, right? And so your partner having significantly more than you. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't go for money.
Yeah,
you should. But let's say I have a million and I make a million a year and my wife makes 1.5 million. Is it really such a big deal?
It is for me, and I'll tell you, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. It's the same thing. And I mean, you're talking between yourself and your girlfriend. I'm talking about between myself and Casper. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't believe everything that pushes us forward is positive emotions. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with you. On that.
When I bet your sweet ass right now, AKA looked at that and decided, and he's not happy.
Mm.
He's not. Because he wants to be there. But obviously that will motivate him to be better.
Yeah.
And he's going to pull another stunt. You know what I'm saying? So the reason why I think it's important is because of those negative feelings, I'm propelling myself forward.
Yeah.
And I can actually just quickly agree with that, because I remember when I was studying, and I didn't have the best of childhood, but it propelled me, it made me want to study even further and make sure that I never go back to the hood. So absolutely.
And it's not because we were like, oh my gosh, rich people are such nice people. I want to study so I can be like, no.
About empowering
it's self. Because when you drove past my crib in your Ferrari, I'm like, that's a douche.
I
want that.
There we go.
No, absolutely agree. All right.
I agree.
So now what I think we're going to do, and I mean, we're just like, because I mean, there's literally like 10 minutes left of the show. Yeah. And that's what I hate about it. I mean, an hour just flies by so quickly. So we're going to listen to, I think, a bit of Words of Reason, right? And it takes a team to put any show together. And we have probably the best voice on the microphone that is hardly ever on the microphone. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put him on. And I mean, you guys heard him last week on our first show because he opened it up. And I want to bring producer Job. That's right, JLB. We don't play those games.
What up?
Come in and put the titles, bro.
So, Job, how you doing?
I'm good, G, and you?
Are you 100%?
Easy.
So, listen, we've spoken about a lot of things today, right? We've spoken about career starter packs. We've spoken about envy. We've spoken about the psychology of it all. You're a little bit interesting because, I mean, you're working for Murray and Roberts, right? In the Bundu somewhere, making a lot of money as an engineer because it's pretty much what you wanted to do. But you're a little difficult, and you decided, okay, well, I'm just pretty much over earning this amount of money. Huh? Can you believe that, Candace? He was over earning money. He was just like, I don't need this. I want to get to that point. I don't need. And then you came back to Joburg, and you decided to become friends with poor little Lesego and Craig. Explain the rationale for me.
So, I don't know where to start, bro. A couple of months ago, I was working for Marion Roberts. I've always wanted to do something different. So in the midst of me wanting to chase something and do something different, I decided to leave my job. I took a risk. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have another job lined up. I didn't have any form of savings that were in place. But I decided to take the leap of faith and say, let me go see I felt like there's something more that I could do. And I just took that leap of faith and it worked out. It honestly worked out.
I think, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I have.
Essentially, it boils down to what we were saying about Casper, right?
Yeah.
Casper, when you follow his lifeline story or his life story, the boy is from. So this happened. I thought about Philip.
Mm.
And I actually put myself in Casper's shoes. So he's a boy from Muff Town who was skimming Capo and they were dead poor, both of them.
Mm.
And now he's a guy who's now number three around the globe to fill up so many people. He's second
in the stadium. Yeah.
Yes, he's second under One Direction.
Yeah. And I mean, they're massive.
So
it doesn't get much bigger.
Sorry.
For you to have that mindset of saying, my circumstances or my surroundings are not going to define me. There's pictures of Casper back in the day, bro. You'd look at him like,
and people always make
crusty was crusty.
But really, like they say, you know what I'm saying?
And now he's that guy with the Bentley and a Bentley and about to get more.
But I would also like to add, he wasn't dirt poor. It's a misconception we have about these rappers, and you know,
100%.
He was not dirt poor. He came from a middle class, but I understand.
It's very relative.
Yeah, got you.
You must remember when you look at his pictures from where he was. He had what? A parent. His parent was a teacher or something.
Mm. Yeah, so relatively speaking,
No.
It wasn't like poor.
So hold on. So I want to get to the crux of the issue here, right? And my thing is, you have someone like. You have someone like Casper, right, who dropped out, let's say, at grade 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my thing about success is that what is the type of mindset, right, that gives a shift to tell someone that they're able to fill up a 75,000 capacity stadium, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like... Sometimes I feel like we have what is called intellectual snobbery, where we literally overthink something as academics.
Because okay.
I'm pretty sure that Casper was sitting down somewhere and he decided, you know what, you know, let's fill up. I think literally for me, when I pictured, he was sitting in his lounge thinking, listen, what's the next big thing? What's the next stud? You know, let's fill up a stadium.
I don't think
he had analysis or forecasts and fancy things to try and work out the probability of that type of thing happening. Because if he did, I'm pretty sure the probability would be against him.
Yeah. But okay, let me just quickly go first. I think what happens is that you get to a stage where you are from a structured environment like a university or, you know, you've been put under the cushion for too long that you stop thinking outside the box. So he needed something that would be challenging, something that was just worse than worse, bigger than and quite daring. And that's what drove him to actually be that excited. Yeah.
I would like to just add, do you guys feel that these people that achieve all of these great things are just, you know, you've been called for that?
I think it's a bit of that. I think there's a truckload of divine intervention in it, because some of it is just not natural.
So there's a quote that says, the reasonable man adapts himself to fit the world, and the unreasonable man adapts the world to fit himself. And
that's filthy.
And I think for me that's that so if deep. if you ever looked at anybody that has made any major impact in the world, he did not look at what has been previously done. He always looked forward of like what's the new thing that I can do. So if you always measure yourself against what has been done, you always look at it in a negative way, and it won't seem possible.
Okay, you know, I think we're going to continue with this thing next week, because this is a little too deep, right? But from my side, yes, I am envious, and envy is my motivation to do better, right? And I'm okay with that because I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want, and from the four of you, real quick, right? We're always going to end off with just literally one sentence. We're literally just going to end one sentence of the stuff that of what we're thinking right now. Okay, so. And I want to start with Q. Okay?
Yeah.
I want you, literally, one sentence.
Yes.
Right? What motivates you to fill up? And when I say that, I mean, like, what motivates you to do what you want to do, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just going to call it, what motivates you to fill up?
I want to be remembered.
Possibility.
I think I'm just great. I'm great.
Yeah.
Great. What? Executive producer job?
Whatever, man. I just want to leave a mark, bro. Genuinely, I just want to leave a mark and be remembered, like you say.
And you know what, guys? Those are genuine. I think all those comments is pretty much what encompasses what we do here. With that being said, man, too many more shows and to continue leaving our mark.
Yeah!
Boom!
Skitty skit!
CliffCentral.com